Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you're choosing to be with me on this April 14th day, 2019. We're going to look at mental illness. We're all of us, mentally ill one way or another. And I'll tell you why and how to... maybe deal with it if you're interested. I want to remind you, as you well know, that this radio program and all of my offerings on the Aspire website at aspire.org, my TV programs, everything is there because of the generosity of those of you who are sponsors. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your gifts. And I hope that some of you listening to me in this moment who are not sponsors, who listen to the radio program and watch our TV programs on the website at aspire.org, will help support us. It's a worthy cause. We do a lot of really good things in our community, especially with radio, TV, and of course, my hospice work. So I hope you'll give it some consideration and become a sponsor and help us sustain this radio program. A sponsor is a person who gives either quarterly or monthly a donation that, of course, fits their budget. And for your donation, you get a lot of really wonderful things. You get the message of the month each and every month, of course. And along with that, you have access to my commentaries, podcasts, videocasts. My gosh, there's so many of them there. You can go on the website and read and listen and watch to your heart's content. You also get access to all of my TV discourses that I've done over the, 35, 40 years of doing TV. And there you are. It's all there for you as my gift, my way of saying thank you and hopefully helping you. If you're interested, go to the website at aspire.org. Down at the bottom, you will see why support Aspire. We answer all the questions as to where your donations go and they're tax deductible. And on top of all of that, you're serving humankind. And that's a really big thing right now. So, what is this thing called mental illness? Well, if you look it up on the dictionary, you're going to find that it's a clinical issue of psychology where we have anxiety, depression, mania, paranoia, psychosis, anxiety disorders, eating disorders, mood disorders, personality disorders, substance use disorders, all these things. And these things are now so interwebbed, interconnected, I should say, with our society and how we live in our society. It's become part of the culture of our society, and this is where we live, move, and have our being, and this is the way we are. So we don't see it as bad. Everybody is more or less doing a relapsing of mental illness over and over and over again, and the reason for all of this, well, is an issue. And when something like mental illness, mental disorders, bipolar, the whole thing, start to become a part of our society as it has now, it becomes ugly. So I get little questions because I talk about mental illness. I tell my students, some of them are, you know, really, really mentally ill. And they don't get it, and they don't want to get it. They don't want to think of themselves as mentally ill. It's a stigma in their mind, and they just don't get it. But maybe I can help you who are considering the idea of really what's going on within you and why you are the way you are. The first question comes from Josh in La Crescenta, California. I listen to you on the radio and watch you on TV. Love your programs. I'm grateful, Josh. From time to time, you mention that we are all mentally ill. Why, Josh? Josh, the reason I bring it up and the reason I talk about it the way I do is because I face it every day of my life. From the moment I get up in the morning to the moment I go to sleep at night, and sometimes when I'm awakened in the middle of the night by a student or someone who needs help, I am more than happy to do that. But it is becoming more and more prevalent, these mood disorders, these eating disorders, these anxiety disorders. And a lot of it becomes a mania in people. This mania goes into paranoia and deep depression, anxiety. I think we're all pretty sad about how the world turned out. And this is why marijuana and all of that is so very important to people. We look in terms of marijuana as being something that relieves us, and we're afraid of our emotionality. In essence, we're very much afraid of our emotionality. We have emotions that we feel we can't control. We have emotions that have been triggered in childhood that are not healthy. They do very unkind things to our thoughts, bringing about anxiety and depression, and even more than that, suicide. The suicide rate is up in our country in an extraordinary way, and you start to look at it and go, well, why would this be true? Why is this happening? Well, you could blame it on government. You know, you work, what, from January to May or June, we work for the United States government. And we see these guys running around in their expensive suits and saying all sorts of absurdities, crazy things that only insane people say. And we find them going on and on and on in all of this. And we think to ourselves, my God, I'm paying for this guy to sit there and say this absurd stuff that has nothing to do with helping people. And then when we really need the help, we don't get it because there's all this government snafus that we have to go through. People are very upset about it. So they they vote in Trump thinking he'll go in and blow things up. Well, now you got to ask yourself, did he do more damage than good? And maybe the whole system can't be fixed and people get very anxious about that. They can't control it. A lot of people are born in this lifetime in bodies that are very weak. How do I say this to you? They're deficient. Emotionally deficient, and they exaggerate and exonerate themselves through their reasoning and logic for all the things they do. But basically, their parents didn't take care of them, and their parents' parents didn't take care of them, and no one takes care of their mind. They don't think in terms of what do I do to take care of my mind and not allow it to go off the deep end. We just allow it to go off the deep end. We have no regard for the process of our thinking, the state of our unconscious mind. Do I need to go on, Josh? We do all of this, and then we think, well, you know, I'm sane. Are you? Are we? Am I? We all have to look at our cognitive impairments, as it were, and understand what is too much stress for a certain person or the certain type of person. And this leads to all sorts of problems as the synapses and the neurons fire off in different ways and the chemicals in the body start to change. And then we become heavily dependent on drugs or marijuana or alcohol or food or whatever. We need to be distracted because we can't understand what's wrong with us. We don't have the mental efficiency, acuity, acumen to understand what's really going on in our life. It's a demanding life that we now live in. It isn't the 40s, 50s, and 60s that we live with. We live beyond all of that. We live with tyranny, fascism, fear, hate, anger, and we rationalize our evil. Everybody, we now admire lying. I mean, we do. We admire how well a person lies, and we don't care, public figure or not. We just don't care. It's fine. As long if you get caught in a lie, you just think, well, you know, I didn't lie well enough. I got to improve my lying. This is all a part of our mental illness. And we don't see the bigger picture of our life. We don't even care to see the bigger picture of our life. So there's a lot of things going on inside of us that bring about mental illness, disorders, personality disorders. We just want to become what we want to become and have what we want to have, and we don't want to answer to anyone or anything for it. And the root of a lot of it is that we want to do what we want to do without consequence. And that's a big root of mental disorders and being mentally ill. So there you are. That's why. And, you know, as far as the spiritual practice is concerned, who would even consider one when all this is going on? Don't have the good judgment to understand what a spiritual practice is, to get involved in an authentic one. That doesn't compute. Josh, I hope I helped you in some way. If not, get a hold of me. You know how to. Please forgive me. Namaste. Our whole culture is wrapped around extreme. Our whole society is extreme. Our form of entertainment is extreme. Everything is extreme. And we just go on and on and on. And a lot of our mental illness is based in genetic and even environmental issues that we have that trigger our hormones and our pheromones and all sorts of drugs that live inside of our body, chemicals really, and it just makes us nuttier than fruitcakes. Here's the next one. This is from Janice. She does not tell me where she lives. Why should I care about my mind? This is interesting. It's filled with thoughts that are good and bad at times. It's our responsibility to choose the good thoughts. Janice. Well, Janice, how do you know what a good thought is? Is that relative to you? Is that relative to your emotions? Is that relative to your desires, to other people, to your opinions? How do I know what you think of as good? And should I be subject to what thoughts that you have that you think are good? What happens when your good thoughts don't turn into good and they start to shift into neutral or bad? If you live by thoughts alone, you will be miserable. You will be convoluted. You will miss the whole thing in this life. Everything in totality, you will miss it. And you have to ask yourself, how far do I go with this idea of being dedicated to my thoughts? My thoughts are my mental illness, and they come from my emotionality. And you see, we don't even know much about our emotions. We can't predict them because they're unpredictable. Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't, as the old commercial went. Sometimes you feel like having this and sometimes you don't want that. And nothing is consistent emotionally except we want gratification for our emotions. And that is always a continuum. So you got to look at it. Why should you care about your mind? You should care about it very much. I wrote a commentary this year entitled The Care and Feeding of the Mind and How to Take Care of It and How to Nurture It, How to Shield It from the Collective Unconscious and from my own paranoia, my own anger, my own hostility, being able to admit things about my emotions that I entertained and have entertained that have caused me to go extreme in my thoughts with mood disorders or maybe eating disorders or paranoia or anxiety, depression, aggravation. You've got to start looking at how you're treating your within. And to be honest with you, Janice, most people don't consider their within. They don't see it as important or necessary to understand. And if they do, they probably don't like what they see. Again, another form of my mental illness and what we do. And then we get hostile towards ourselves and we think, I don't want to go inside myself. My God, it's terrible in there. So we try to ignore it all. Or we do things like smoke marijuana or take drugs or pills, or we get hooked on medications. We've seen this in the news a lot. And this goes on and on and on. And no one ever comes to the point where they deal with what needs to be dealt with. And after a while, you don't have the ability to even deal with what's going on within. It's just a matter of trying to survive it by avoidance. So I use one emotion against another emotion, the stronger emotion. I need to go and watch TV, or I need to go and eat, or I need to go and watch a movie, a vengeance movie, something that's real gratifying, something that makes me feel like I can control all of this, or there's hope or whatever. We just get involved. We don't look at our minds and go, you know, it isn't fit. It isn't healthy. I need a healthy mind. I need to change the way I think. I need to change the way I operate on the inside. I need to change the way I live with my mind and start understanding the emotionality that's connected to it. Janice, you need to read my commentary on the care and feeding of the mind. It's important. Get yourself a little subscription. They're only $15. They're hardly anything. You've wasted more money on frivolous things that hurt your mind than that. I mean, just go and take a look. What is the care and feeding of my mind? And I just gave you a little bit about it. It's a lengthy commentary, but you can understand it. And if you're patient, which most people cannot be, that's another form of our mental illness. We're not patient anymore. We don't want to realize our own thinking. It's very hard for a human being to learn how to distance themselves from their own thinking so they can observe their mind and how it's operating. It's humiliating to most people, and they just don't want to do it. It's just easier to avoid. But I'm telling you, you have to see the mechanism of your mind. If you try to analyze your mind from your mind, you will miss. It will be awful. It won't work. You have to look at your mind from the state of a new mind, a mind no longer seeking to consider, as Buddha said, what is good and bad or right and wrong, a mind no longer in conflict with itself. And if you can't look at life from that point of view, if you can't see the whole thing of standing back, observing, watching, listening, feeling beyond your emotions what's going on. And you can only do that in a meditative mind, a mind that's not in conflict or trying to resolve a problem with another problem. You have to be able to just watch. The mind is a delicate instrument and needs to be treated with great love and respect. And you have to see what it is doing and where it is operating from. And you can't do that when you and I are sitting there in the throes of our own mental disorders and mood disorders and personality disorders and using substance and immersing ourselves in our genetics to the point where we only think like our ancestors did, and we miss the whole meaning of our life. We can't see our mind and what we're doing to it. Janice, just get involved a little bit in your practice or in a practice, something authentic. Don't just listen to books and teachers, that so-called teachers that just are telling you the pablum of what it is to maybe think in a certain way. You have to go beyond thinking in a certain way. The object of the game is to meditate and to give up our thinking for the state of our heart, the state of love that lives within us, the state of no mind, a mind not churning on right and wrong, good and bad. That's what it's all about. I wish you well, Janice, and thank you for listening and watching Aspire. I appreciate it, especially your comments on passing through the fires. I deeply appreciate that. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you haven't seen the series Passing Through the Fires, it is about what it takes to become, as it were, essentially spiritual, to come to that place where we are, in fact, living in the state of love. It's very, very important. Last question from Carol. Where is this? Washington State. My mind belongs to me, right, Carol? No, Carol, your mind does not belong to you. And this is a fallacy that people have. In her email to me, she was talking about all of the influences that are surrounding her. Your mind does not belong to you until you can live in the silence of your being. And then the mind becomes a tool, not an object of affection, not an object that is a possession, not at all. You live in a presence that is beyond the mind's functioning of right and wrong, good and bad. You are no longer living in the functionality of a mind that is mentally ill. You have to give up the mind and what constitutes your thinking, how you arrive at any decision or conclusion about anything. You must begin to see the value of no mind, the value of no longer being locked into thoughts. Once that has been established in you, you will no longer be suckered into thinking any longer. You will no longer need thinking. You will simply observe without assessing your thoughts or judgments or having any kind of inner fight. You just watch. And as you observe and watch, you start to feel the state of love within you. That love is not a thought. You belong to love. You are love. You do not belong to these heinous thoughts that your body is producing out of genetic disposition and emotionality. Now you can contemplate without thinking. You can realize without coming to judgment. And this is the art of what it is to have an antidote for our mental illness, which is something that few people ever really think about having. They just don't get it. Sit in the silence of your being. I have intonements that I offer my students that resonate deep inside, beyond the vastness of their thinking and into the simple tone of their being. You and I are a tone. We are a vibration. We are not a thought. And when you can drop your thinking and listen to the tone and become empty, much can happen. Thank you, Carol, for your beautiful question. I deeply appreciate it. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, I hope all of this helped you. I really do. And may it serve you well. And if nothing else, it just brings your attention to something that might be very important in your life. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.